We've begun to look at the book of Philippians together on Sunday mornings and evenings. Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Philippi while he was in prison. He's writing to Christian friends in a church that he had planted some years earlier. They'd been partners with him in the gospel. He's writing a letter of encouragement to them, a letter of friendship, a letter of joy. It's amazing that it is a letter of joy when Paul is writing from a situation where he himself is in prison. He's writing to build them up in the faith. He's writing to encourage them to partner with him in the work of the gospel and be united as one in Jesus Christ. This morning I'm focusing on one verse from the first paragraph of the letter, verse 6, which is one of the most loved verses in the New Testament for many believers. It's a verse that some of you will know by heart, that the Lord, he who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In many ways, it's a key verse in the letter. It's one of those magnificent, profound statements which lead us into the depths of Christian truth. We have a window, as it were, into the biblical doctrine of salvation. The whole wonder of God's saving work in us compressed into one verse. So what I want to do this morning with you is to walk through five observations about salvation from Philippians 1 verse 6. And as we go through them, that God would give us a deeper understanding of his saving grace, the wonder of salvation. And if you've never experienced salvation yourself before, that even that this morning may be a day of salvation for you. So the first thing we see here is that salvation is God's good work in us. That's how salvation is described. God's good work in you. It's a description of God's work in the life of a believer. It's the work of grace in the life of those who receive this letter that Paul is writing to them. He's saying, this is how you received the gospel. God began a good work in you. So we must remember, when the scriptures speak about salvation, there's always the objective, something that happened outside of us. And there's also something subjective, something that God does in us. Those two things always come together in God's work of salvation. Salvation has things that are objective outside of us, external to us, things that have been accomplished in history. God's work for us, especially through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's work through us through the sinless life of Jesus, his substitutionary death on the cross for our sins, the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. That work is outside of us. It's an objective work of God. Work that's been done in history. A work that's already been accomplished by Jesus Christ, who on the cross cried, "It is finished." That work of salvation accomplished by him. But then there's also a subjective and inner work of salvation. Salvation is not only what is accomplished outside of you, it's also what happens in your own experience, in your own heart and in your own life. Salvation involves what Jesus has done for you, but it also involves what Jesus does in you by the work of the Holy Spirit. So redemption is accomplished, but it also must be applied. And Paul here describes his confidence in the experience of the Philippian believers, the experience of God's work in them, in their lives, in their experience. God's good work in you, he says. The application of redemption to their lives and hearts. So we remember both aspects. Objective, outside of us, there are things a Christian believes that Jesus Christ has accomplished already in his life, death, and resurrection. There is no salvation without Jesus Christ and that work that he's accomplished. His sinless life, his saving death on the cross, his mighty resurrection. There's no salvation without that. But there's no salvation for you this morning unless that work of Jesus Christ is not only accomplished by him outside of you, but also that a work has begun in you. God must do a good work in you, says Paul. Now, this good work in the Bible is referred to in several different ways. Sometimes it's called the new birth, being born again, regeneration. It's the idea of a new life, a new kind of life, the gift of eternal life that God gives to those who trust in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's described as moving out of darkness into light. It's described as passing from death into life. Sometimes it's called a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 puts it like this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God has begun a good work in that person. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So whether it's the language of new birth, or resurrection, or new creation, or moving from death to life, moving from darkness to light, it's the idea of something new. God doing a new work, a creative work, a transforming work in your heart and life. Paul describes it here as God beginning a good work in you. And that language Paul picks up then and also uses elsewhere to refer to the fact that when God begins a good work in you, that continues with the work of ethical transformation. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, says Paul. Because when God begins a new work in you, a good work in you, that always results in a transformed life. That's referred to later in this letter to the Philippians. It's described in such a way as to show this link between what God does in you by the work of the Spirit and the change of life that results from it. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God begins a good work in you, he says, and that empowers an outworking of that in our lives. We work out what God has worked in. And when Paul uses language like that then, he's thinking about God's work that results in a life of transformation, obedience, faith in Jesus Christ. This good work that Paul refers to then in chapter 1 verse 6 is a work that begins with new birth, the work of God the Holy Spirit. God works that beachhead, as it were, for the kingdom of God in the terrain of our souls. And that then works and continues in sanctifying grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to be completed until our final and full glory, when we are made like Jesus Christ, says Paul. So let me give you an historical example to illustrate what the Apostle Paul is describing here. There was a great preacher called George Whitefield, a great evangelist not only here in England and Wales, but also in North America. He was an evangelist in the First Great Awakening in the 18th century. But how did Whitefield come to faith? How was he converted? Well, a friend called Charles Wesley, we sing lots of Charles Wesley's hymns. Well, Whitefield's friend Charles Wesley gave him a book. Sometimes it's very useful to give someone who needs help in a particular area of the Christian life, give them a book which will help them to understand it more fully. Charles Wesley gave George Whitefield a book called The Life of God in the Soul of Man. The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And Whitefield says that God used this book to show him something. Whitefield says, I must be born again or be damned. God must begin a good work in me, Whitfield said, or I'll be lost. The life of God in the soul of man. It's a great description of God's work in the heart and life of a believer. So I need to ask every one of you this morning, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced this? Have you experienced the beginning of God beginning a good work in you? So that you are not what you once were. Once you were spiritually dead, but now you are spiritually alive. Once you were spiritually blind, but now you can spiritually see. Once you couldn't spiritually hear God's voice speaking to you through his word and by the Holy Spirit, but now you do hear. Once the things of God, the things of eternity, the things of the kingdom of God, even Jesus Christ himself, his life, his death on the cross, the resurrection, once those things meant nothing or little to you. But now they mean everything to you because God has begun a good work in your heart, in your life. There's no salvation without the beginning of this work in you. So the first observation, that the nature of salvation includes this personal element, God's good work in your heart and life. Salvation is God's good work in us. Secondly, God takes the initiative in saving us. God takes the initiative in saving us. He is the one who begins the good work. He who has begun a good work in you, says Paul. He's referring to God. God begins a work, he says. God takes the initiative. One of my pastimes occasionally is to play a game of chess with my granddaughter. I've always enjoyed playing chess. When I was in school, I liked the chess club. And someone who knows chess knows that there are two colours to the chess pieces. There are white chess pieces and there are black chess pieces. And white always begins the game. White makes the first move. White takes the initiative if you're going to play chess. So in chess terms, in our relationship with God, I'm talking in chess terms now, it's as if God is the white. He takes the initiative, in other words. God takes the initiative and checkmates us. God outmaneuvers you. He brings you to a point of personal faith in Jesus Christ. It's true for every believer. God moves the pieces in your life to bring you to a point of salvation. Acts chapter 16 and the founding of the church in Philippi illustrates God taking that initiative. If you want to follow in the Bible, turn to Acts 16. Let me read some of the verses for you. As we look at Acts 16, it's unmistakably clear. God begins the work. God initiates. Those first converts in the Roman colony of Philippi, those Christians who made up the nucleus of the church, how did it happen? Acts 16 verse 6. Here are Paul and his companions, and they're wondering, where will they go to preach the gospel? Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So that's interesting. They wanted to go and preach in Asia, but they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Either the Holy Spirit providentially closed a door of opportunity, or the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts in such a way that they realized they were not to go to Asia to proclaim the gospel. God was at work. God the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, after they'd come up to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So again, you see the Holy Spirit here maneuvering, working. Where would Paul and his friends go to preach the gospel? verses 8 and 9. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. What was Paul seeing? Paul was seeing a vision that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. God was working in supernatural ways to point Paul and his friends to just where God wanted them to go, to preach the gospel. Verse 10, now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they go to Macedonia, and they get to Philippi. And then what happens when they get to Philippi? On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So who began the good work in Philippi? Who began that work in Macedonia? It was God. God did it. God worked so that the missionaries went to Philippi just as he planned. And then when they got there, God opened Lydia's heart. God was at work. God was closing doors, opening doors, preparing the way for the gospel. He opened Lydia's heart to respond. God at work. He initiates the work. The sovereign God of the Word of God. Listen to how one of our hymns puts it. This is hymn 498 in our hymn books. One hymn puts it like this. It's not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse you, had you not chosen me. You from the sin that stained me, you have cleansed and set me free. Of old you have ordained me, that I should live to thee. It was sovereign mercy that called me and taught my opening mind. The hymn writer is quoting from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love God because he first loved us. God begins the good work. Salvation is God's good work in us. Secondly, God takes the initiative in saving us. Thirdly, God's saving work in us is not yet completed. Notice what Paul says. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Will, future. Will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is certainly going to bring the good work to completion. But he's not going to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. The word complete it translates the idea of putting the finishing touches on something. It's used four times in the New Testament to describe completing an offering that Paul wants to take up. Paul wants to take up an offering, to take a gift to a church. He urges people to complete it, that you'll have a full amount to take. They've made a pledge to give. Paul wants them now to fulfill it, fulfill the pledge. And it's used another time in direct reference to the work of salvation when Paul writes a warning letter to churches that are straying from the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish, he writes to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit. There's the word begin. You've begun in the Spirit. Are you now being made perfect? Do you think you will complete it, he says, by the flesh? So those two ideas are there. Begun, made perfect. Paul is reminding the Galatians they began in the Spirit. The only way to finish is in the Spirit. What God began, God must complete, he's saying. What the power of the Spirit began must be completed by the Spirit at work in their lives. So as we look at the way Paul speaks here, he shows that God begins a good work in salvation. We can think of it in three dimensions. Past, present, future. If you're a Christian, it would be true biblically to say, you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. You have been saved. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's a completed dimension to your salvation. If you're in Christ, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are justified, your sins are forgiven, you are united to Jesus Christ, you are adopted into the family of God, you're already in Christ, you have been saved. There's also a sense you can say it's true that you are being saved. You're in the process of God at work in you, delivering you from sin and corruption, all the consequences of sin in your life. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, Paul writes to Christians, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's the same word, perfecting, bringing it to completion, he's saying. You're not completely holy yet, Paul writes. Holiness still needs to be brought to completion. You are saved in Jesus Christ, but there's an ongoing work of God the Holy Spirit in your life. If you visit Cologne in Germany, a cathedral was built in Cologne, Germany. It was begun in the 13th century. It wasn't completed until the 19th century. Now, the Cologne Cathedral was a magnificent cathedral in the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th centuries. But it wasn't completed till the 19th century, 600 years. Paul is saying, if you're a Christian, there's a sense in which God at work in you has begun a work, but it's not been completed yet. It's not finished yet. The work has begun if you're a Christian. Has God begun a good work in you? God has done something in you. Paul is saying God will continue to do something in your life and he will bring it to completion. It's very encouraging to the believer then. We're aware of the sins and the failures in our life. But we know God has begun something. He will complete it. He will finish it. But it's not yet completed. Salvation is God's good work in us. God takes the initiative in saving us. God's saving work in us is not yet completed. Fourthly, God's work will be completed when Christ returns. When Christ returns, the work will be completed. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. When, Paul? When will God complete it? He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's what's been called the horizon of the Christian life. We're looking towards something on the horizon. The day of Jesus Christ, says Paul. It's a significant theme in Paul's letter to the Philippians. In every chapter, in one way or another, he points his readers to this horizon. A day is coming, he's saying. Jesus is going to return. The day of Jesus Christ. In the prayer that follows these verses, verses 9 to 11, he's praying for them that they will be pure and blameless till the day of Christ. As he thinks about their sanctification, their purity, their holiness, he's looking towards the day of Jesus Christ. He's looking towards the second coming of Jesus. It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say that God who's begun a good work in you will complete it. He doesn't say that God will complete it when you die. That's not what he says. Now, Paul will speak about his own impending death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, says Paul. But he's saying death is not the completion. Because what happens when a Christian dies? The soul departs from the body. The soul is in the presence of the Lord. That's wonderful. It's glorious, but it's not the completion. The goal is a full redeemed humanity, not just the soul in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but resurrection body as well, body and soul, glorified, resurrected in the presence of Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be transformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Perfection for the Christian does not happen before death, says Paul. That would be the error of perfectionism. Perfection for the Christian does not even happen when you die. That's the error of Platonism. Perfection for the Christian happens when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, body is resurrected and transformed and made like the glorious body of Jesus Christ. He'll be brought to completion, completely redeemed, completely transformed, every aspect of our human personality glorified. Beloved, now we are children of God. This is 1 John 3 verse 2. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when the Lord comes, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is, and we will be made like him. We're looking on the horizon, the next big event, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Salvation will be completed. So salvation is God's good work in us. God takes the initiative in saving us. God's saving work in us is not yet completed. God's work will be completed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Finally, then, we can be sure God will finish what he starts. God is faithful. God will finish what he has started. You notice the certainty that Paul inserts here. Being confident of this very good thing, he says. Being confident of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of this very thing, says Paul. So there's certainty, there's assurance in his voice. God has begun the good work, he will certainly finish it. In the Old Testament, Psalm 138 puts it like this. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. We all in our lives have had projects that we've started but not completed. I mentioned earlier about thinking as a child of reading through a set of encyclopedias, but just getting through halfway through the first volume. But God is not like that. God does not begin a work that he does not complete. What God has commenced, he will complete. What he's originated, he will perfect. It reminds us then that the preservation of our faith ultimately lies in the hands of God. Yes, the Bible says we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. But we do that because God is the one who's able to keep us from falling. He upholds us. We are told, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But we do that because God works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. There's a great illustration of it in Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, it's a great book to read. It describes so many different aspects of what it means to become a Christian and to live the Christian life. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is in a house called the Interpreter's House. And the interpreter takes him to a room where there's a fire burning against a wall. And someone is by the fire throwing water on the fire. Someone has a bucket of water and is throwing buckets of water onto the fire. And yet the fire burns hotter and hotter, brighter and brighter. And Christian is puzzled. Christian asks the interpreter, what does this mean? How can you have a fire burning hotter and brighter when someone is throwing water on it? Interpreter says, the fire is a picture of God at work in someone's heart. And the person who's casting water, throwing water onto the fire, is the devil. The devil is trying to put the fire out. But the prayer is getting hotter and burning more brightly. Why? Asks Christian. The devil is trying to put out the fire, but the fire is growing hotter and brighter. Why is that happening? Ah, says the interpreter. The interpreter takes Christian to the other side of the wall. It's as if there's a fireplace between two rooms. Yes, the devil is throwing water on the fire, but around the corner, out of sight, there's someone with a vessel of oil in his hands, and there's someone else secretly throwing oil onto the fire. More oil than water. And the interpreter says, this is God at work. This is Jesus at work. He continually throws the oil of his grace onto the fire. God maintains the work that he's begun. So despite the devil doing everything he can to put out the fire, God keeps the fire of grace burning more brightly, hotter, more brightly, hotter. The devil is trying to put the fire out, but God is at work by his grace, pouring the oil of the Spirit onto the fire, that the fire keeps burning brighter, 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 hotter, hotter, hotter. So one commentator puts it like this: commencement, the beginning, continuance, carrying on, and consummation, bringing it to its completion. Commencement, continuance, and consummation, all out of God, he says. God begins the work, God continues the work, God will complete the work. God will certainly complete the work he's begun. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea, yes, and amen, amen, let it be. And never was forfeited yet. You'll not find a Christian in the whole world, says the hymn, and says the Bible, where God begins a work and fails. Never. God begins the work, he continues the work, he'll complete the work. Things future, nor things that are now, nor all things below or above, can make him, make God, his purpose forego. God will... Nothing can stop God carrying out his purposes. Nothing can sever my soul from his love. Which is why Paul can say that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We face all kinds of pressures in this crazy world. There are many dangers, toils, and snares. What's going to get you through? What's going to bring it to completion? How will you finish? Paul says, the same grace that began a good work in you, God began a good work in you, will carry you through to the end. He will hold you fast. He'll preserve you. It's the promise. It's the great comfort. I trust this morning for all of us, this confidence. Has God begun a good work in you? If you've never called on God for salvation this morning, call on God that he will begin a good work in you. You can cry out, Lord, begin a good work in me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when God begins a good work in you, he will complete it. Thank God. Absolutely sure and certain. God will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That day is on the horizon. It's coming. God will complete it. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. We thank you this morning that as the God of salvation, when you begin a good work in someone, and someone cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that good work of salvation that you begin in the heart, you continue it and will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. No one has ever called on Jesus Christ for salvation and been lost. No one has cried out for Jesus Christ and known the power of God by the Holy Spirit at work in heart and life, and that work has been left undone. Never. The mighty God of salvation begins the work, continues the work, completes the work. All praise and glory to the God of salvation. We bring you our praise this morning through our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept our praise, accept our worship and our thanksgiving. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Toplady must have had this verse in mind when he wrote the hymn, A Debtor to Mercy Alone, where he writes that the work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. So let's stand to sing as a closing hymn, number 605, A Debtor to Mercy Alone. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, today, even forevermore, world without end. Amen.